97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for joining us this weekend. My name is Tony Colombo, here with my partner, Bo Matthews. Bo, can you hear me? How's it going?
I got you, man. Loud and clear. Coming in.
Nice. And we need to introduce our new producer, new to this show, certainly not new to the radio station or anybody that's been listening to St. Louis radio for the past 100 years.
Yep.
The great Carl Middleman is taking over the duties. If you guys were listening last week, Chad Ellis, our longtime producer of this show, has moved on to greener pastures, bigger
sunnier
and better things.
Pastures.
Yes. Certainly sunnier pastures. So Carl is picking up the reins and is going to
be... I was on
the
show before.
Yeah, absolutely. You've been on every show before.
Well, that is true.
So Carl is going to be our new producer moving forward, and we are super excited to have you along, my friend.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you here.
Pew, pew.
Yes. So we've got a great show in store for you. Carl is going to be along, of course, this week and every week going forward. We are also going to talk to our friend Tim Shelsvik a little bit later on in the show, depending on when you're listening to this, whether you're listening to the podcast before the show even airs on the weekend, or you're listening on Saturday afternoon on 97.1 or Sunday afternoon on Camo X. Hopefully you are able to be out and about enjoying the great outdoors. I believe it is now archery season. We talked to him a couple weeks ago during rifle season, and I know that he has a lot more fun during archery season. So it's always great to catch up with Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors and the Thinking Woodsman podcast. Talk to him about deer hunting and the great outdoors. So we're going to do that a little bit later on. Right now, let's start the show the way we always do with our friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Aaron, how's it going, buddy?
Good. How are you guys?
Cannot complain. I actually wanted to dive right into this, and I don't know how long this is going to... This may go on for another week or two, or maybe we'll get to all of them today, but I got a lot of feedback and actually had a lot of conversations since last week's show when you were on with us at the beginning, and we pulled up the Joe Biden website and started looking at his Second Amendment, the Biden plan to end our gun violence epidemic. And there is a lot of information here, a lot of policies, a lot of plans, and we started to kind of go through them last week, but there's a lot here, and we ran out of time. So I just wanted to pick this back up with you, Aaron, as an expert when it comes to local gun laws and, you know, how these different policies would affect us here in Missouri if they were put into play. So I just wanted to pick up this this conversation right where we left off, if that's all right with you, Aaron.
Yeah, let's do it.
So another one, so if you missed any of last week's discussion, and if you pull up the Biden-Harris website, I'm literally just going straight down the list. So if there's something that we didn't hit that you're wondering about, check out last week's podcast, and chances are it's something that we talked about last week. So I want to get right into this. Another one of the issues here, this is one that they've talked about a lot, that we've heard discussed in the media a lot, and I think people wonder if it's something real, something that they can actually do, and that is the buyback program. So on Joe Biden's website, once again, this is his plans, his words, or at least the website's words. Part of his
gun... doesn't know how to use a website.
Part of his Second Amendment gun violence, the plan to end gun violence is to buy back assault weapons and high capacity magazines already in our communities. Biden will also institute a program to buy back weapons of war currently on our streets. This will give individuals who now possess assault weapons or high-capacity magazines two options: sell the weapons to the government or register them under the National Firearms Act. Could you...
and be taxed.
Yeah. Aaron, could you flush out exactly what that means and how in the world would that be executed? Are they going to go... I mean, they can't go door to door, and there's not an existing registry, right? So there's no way to know who has a high capacity magazine. Hey, I know this guy's got a 10 round magazine and that he bought 3 years ago at Southern Armory. So let's go to his door. How in the world does this happen?
So the good news is that there is, so some states are different than others, right? So let's just kind of look at Missouri. Missouri, you're right, there is not a registry of firearms or magazines. In fact, it's illegal. It says the state of Missouri will not participate with the federal government or agents of the government or contractors of the government, et cetera, to establish a database that has the numbers, the types of firearms you have, or the accessories that you have for those firearms, right? So we're talking magazines, optics, you know, vertical foregrips, you know, the guns themselves, et cetera. So Missouri has a law specifically saying, we won't do this. We're not going to play ball with the federal government. Now, other states, you look at Illinois, they have a FOID system, a Firearms Owner Identification Card, a FOID. And when they buy a gun, the state police know that they buy a gun because Illinois' background check system, they call the Illinois State Police instead of the FBI, like Missouri dealers do. And we've talked about kind of loopholes in that and the shooting they had in Chicago where the guy, you know, didn't get run through the FBI because the FBI had him flagged as not being able to purchase firearms. I digress. So now in Illinois, there is an existence of a database of when you buy a firearm. And not being an Illinois dealer, so I can't 100% tell you, but I know when you do a person-to-person transaction, you go and you enter in the FOID, and from what I understand, the firearms information too. So they know that you bought this type of rifle with this serial number, and it comes back to you. Missouri used to have, back in the day, and when I say back in the day, we're probably talking like 15 years ago, because I only bought one, maybe two pistols like this, a permit to purchase. And you had to go to the sheriff's department or the county police, you know, depending on what you had. So Jefferson County, you go to Hillsborough, St. Louis County, you ran down to Clayton. You fill out this permit to purchase, and St. Louis County charged you $10, and 30 days later, they approved you to buy a handgun. They ran a mixed background check on you from the FBI. You go to your dealer, you say, hey, here's my permit to purchase. I'd like to get this Glock, this SIG, this whatever. And you could buy one gun, one handgun, on that permit to purchase. And then on that form, they have all the information, the make, model, serial number, caliber, et cetera. And then that would get retained by, I think it was three copies. We're going 15 years here of memory. It was three copies, and one the dealer kept. I kept one. I believe then they mailed one into the actual police department. And so there was a record at time for handguns, at least, for the counties that did the permit to purchase. That's been gone for 15 plus years, and we have not registered firearms to an individual's name by serial number, make, model, etc. Other states do this, and other states, you know, California, they limit, you know, how much ammunition you can buy. They do a background check on ammunition, so they know you've got it, because they've got to track it to make sure you're not buying more than so much per month. Right, so it's a centralized database when they check you to make sure that you're able to buy that allotment of ammunition. And so these things, if California has a magazine ban, and that's gone back and forth, then turned over, then said no, it's allowed. So can he do it? Yeah, he could definitely do some things. And depending on the structure, he may be able to do them by the executive order.
Right.
So, and that's the big thing. It may not be, hey, let's get Congress on board, you know, with our reps, and then let's get the Senate on board, right, do some back dealings to get it, and then get Biden to sign it. So it may be done, Aaron, by an executive order. Yes.
No, I was just going to interject there. You know, one of the headlines on his website, joebiden.com, is "Get Weapons of War Off Our Streets." Legal gun owners don't have their guns on the streets. How about, it's kind of like this vaccine. Why don't we have all the politicians take the vaccine before anybody else does? And if they're okay, then we'll take it. How about getting all the weapons of war off the streets, like of Chicago and L.A.? Let's start there.
Yeah.
How about do that? And how are you going to do that
instead
without
going to
with
legal gun owners? And yeah.
Yeah. So, and then defund the police. You're going to defund the police. Then you're going to have to go and collect all these weapons. Really? Is that really going to happen?
So the defund the police thing, I think, is pretty much a dying slogan, but that's let's digress. Let's look at like Chicago, where they have a ton of violence. It's gang associated violence, right? This is not the common person.
St. Louis. Yeah.
Yeah, St. Louis has got it too. But again, you know, the average person, you know, is not going to be, you know, suffering from this violence. They're going, you know, it's gang on gang. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's criminal on criminal. And it's so, you know, should you carry, you know, right now you come into this whole debate, like, yeah, I carry a pistol because you never know. Like, somebody may try to carjack you or maybe break in your house, whatever. But we look at Chicago and we look at the buyback programs. And they've had buyback programs in Chicago. They've had them in California, like New York, Massachusetts, a lot of New Jersey, even Philadelphia, which Pennsylvania is, you know, pretty free state when it comes to firearms. And, you know, guns get turned in. And you look at the buyback programs, the vast majority of these guns get turned in are non-functioning or antiques. And you can't really find the ammunition for them, or they're cost prohibitive. And I mean, you see, like, the pictures of them, and, you know, they put the AKs or the ARs, you know, the few that they get turned in up front, or the shotguns, they get turned in up front. But then you look at the vast majority of the other guns, and they are not the guns that you would think that they were. Right down to homemade shotguns. They were turning in homemade shotguns. And then one time they even posted about a rocket launcher that got turned in, which was just a tube. It wasn't actually the device.
Probably a potato gun.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it was the tube that, you know, they would put the rocket in, and the rocket was actually the destructive device. That was the registered part. The tube was not registered. Didn't even have, you know, it wasn't considered a firearm. So kind of funny, you know what I'm saying, that, look, we got a rocket launcher, and then, you know, everybody in the industry is like, you can get a rocket launcher. I mean, I can go buy that at the surplus store.
Right.
You know, no background check. So, could they institute a buyback program? Absolutely, they could institute a buyback program. And what they would get, like, I got some high-capacity magazines at my house that are just not worth rebuilding, right? I've used them so much that they're just not worth rebuilding. So what do you do? Well, you know, like, when I could go buy a new one for, you know, $12 or whatever, why would I, you know, rebuild one that's, you know, probably going to cost like $8 or $10? It's all dinged up. I would just sell it back to the government. Mm-hmm. If they're going to give me $10 or $20 for it, then I'll sell it to them for $20, and I'll go down to Southern Armory and I'll buy one off the wall. It's brand new.
So, you know? Aaron, and the other part of that is the buyback program, or register it with under a national registry. We only have a couple minutes left. That is another thing that's been talked about a million times. Why would you be for or against a national registry?
We hit on that national registration. What they're going to do is they're just going to reclassify these guns as NFA firearms. So it's a National Firearms Act. And for those of you that already have short-barrel rifles, your gun is already, you know, you got a tax stamp for it. It's technically registered. Mm-hmm. Same thing with your suppressor. So
yeah,
what they would do,
that's
this,
what I was just going to ask, just like a suppressor, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Just like a suppressor, just like a machine gun, just like a short-barrel rifle. So, yeah, I mean, you want me to register the 5 or 6 AR-15s I have at my house that aren't registered? Great. Let's do it. Here's your $200 per item, right, per serial number. And now I can put a short barrel on it, you know? Hmm. So I don't have to be 16 inches anymore. I can put an 8-inch on my 300 blackout. I can put a 10.5-inch on my 222 or 223.556. You know, I'm getting ready to build like a 458 SOCOM. I got some dies and some parts and said, maybe I'll build a new upper. Put a short barrel on that. And now,
I saw a video. No, hold on. I saw a video. You mentioned $200. I saw a video this past week, and I couldn't tell you where it was, so I can't verify it, but they said they could charge you a personal property tax of your firearm, $200 per firearm and $200 per clip that goes with it. Now, the question is, if you bought your clip at Southern Armory and nobody, I have a receipt, I bought it from you, but did you write down who you sold the clip to? Probably not. Yeah. How are they going to know?
They're not. It's going to be a self-report thing. It's like the bump stock thing. They didn't know who owned a bump stock.
Right.
You know, I mean, we had like 2 or 3 at the store that sat there forever, and they go, we're going to ban them. We're going to talk about banning them. Next thing you know, people are running in and buying them and selling them for 2 or 3 times the amount of money on auction websites. I think these people are nuts, you know, and then they banned them, and now you got to chop them up, you know.
For something that nobody really even cared about to begin with. It was just kind of a little novelty thing that nobody cared about. I love this. We got to do this. We got a lot more to get to, and we're gonna do this with Aaron every week until we get through all of the policies on Joe Biden's website. I love it. I think that's important that people know all of the things that the president-elect is talking about. It's crazy. Aaron, before we let you go, what's the latest at Southern Armory, and how can people come out and see you?
Yeah, so tons of inventory rolling in. Actually, I got to call a wholesaler here, Val, and just chat him up. But, I mean, you know, we're getting some really awesome guns in. I'm not going to lie. Even my wife said that to me. Now that, you know, as you guys are, you know, we mentioned on previous shows, we had to diversify and really add wholesalers to keep up with the demand. And so the gun shop is starting to slowly fill back up with guns. And I'm starting to get to the point that's where great. I'm able to buy 4 and 6 of the same type. And so that's nice. Ammunition is still tight, but we're still getting that in. It's weekly, but it's weird. The big question is, what day you get guns and ammo? And it's like, we receive like every day, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, but we can't tell you, like, our ammo comes in on Thursday, you know, at 10 a.m. Yeah. It's here. You know, right. It's just not a thing. So,
and sometimes it makes it on the shelf and sometimes it doesn't. So,
yeah. And that's the other thing too, is if you want ammo or you want a gun, you need to get into the store or you need to call 965 guns, and you need to tell Jessica or Terry, whoever answers the phone, say, hey, put me on a list for some 9mm. Hey, put me on a list for a Glock. Put me on a list for, you know, AR-15, because there's still a lot of that going on. And you know, previously I said, you know, it's like, it's not even making it to the wall. People are coming. Yeah. We're taking the back order. We won't take your money, even though we know it's coming. And if it is coming and we know it's like, hey, we got a tracking number, it's on its way, it's here in 2 days, you want it, you can buy it now. But we're calling the people that are coming in and giving us their name and number. Hey, call me when you get this. We're calling them first. So yeah. A lot of this stuff isn't even making it to the wall. So if you're wanting something, you need to get in and chat with us. But now that we've diversified, we've got like 8 or 10 wholesalers. It's crazy. I met so many new people here lately, that the walls are filling up. You can come in, you can get a 1911, you can get that Sky Pistol, you can get a Smith & Wesson revolver, you can get a SIG, you know, may not be the exact trim bottle you want, you know, but you can get it. So yeah, come in, see us. We're 1 mile east of 270 and 44 at 9901 Watson Road. You can find us on Facebook at Southern Armory, Second Amendment News Podcast, and southernarmory.com.
Do you want to do that? Do you know the Chad thing?
I do.
Do you want to do it?
I did it first.
All right. Yeah. Aaron. Oh, you did?
I did first. I was here before Chad, remember?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I produced this show before Chad did.
Aaron, give the website again. Aaron,
okay.
Do it again.
And southernarmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
There you go. And that is Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Aaron, great information as always. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Yep. We'll see you next week. Bye.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and we will do more Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. When we get back, don't go anywhere.
Hey, it's Bo for Razorback Armory. When you own a firearm or other weapon, you may not use that weapon until you go to a shooting range, or, God forbid, you have to defend yourself with it, so your gun might sit unused for weeks or months at a time. I'm going to tell you a real-life conversation with my old buddy Randy. He said he took his .22 out, and he went to fire at a target, and nothing. It just clicked. And clicked. And it wasn't the weapon. It was bad ammo. So you have to cycle ammo, too. And I asked him, I said, how old is your ammo? He says, oh, it could be 40 years old. I don't know. Anyway, if you have any troubles with your firearm, though, bring it to Razorback Armory. They are true gunsmiths, and they are your gun concierge, which means if you are looking for specific accessories for your firearm, you can get it through them. If you are looking for a specific firearm, just go in there and see that back wall. It's beautiful, and they've got a great selection. A half mile east of 270 on Manchester Road in De Pere. Online at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with new producer Carl Middleman.
Old producer, returning producer.
That's right. And my partner, Bo Matthews. We are in the next segment going to be talking to our friend Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors and the Thinking Woodsman podcast. You're going to be talking to him. Hopefully, as you're listening to this, you are able to experience the great outdoors. I know it is archery season, which is Tim's favorite, so we're going to be talking to him about that. And as you're listening to this, it's very possible that I am on the water, that I am sitting on the water, maybe, hopefully, as this is airing or as you're hearing this. I'm very excited to get back out on the water this weekend. It's been weeks, months, I think, maybe a couple months since I've had a chance to go fishing. 2020 has been such a crazy year. Started out, I was out in the boat and out on the water and down at the lake a whole lot in the beginning of the spring and summer, and then suddenly that just all stopped. But as we talk about all the time, it's not too late to get out of the water and go fishing. And anytime we're talking about fishing, or hopefully anytime you go fishing, you go out and see my friends at Bluff City Outdoors. Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, Illinois. They have got you covered no matter what you need in the tackle box. They're open all year round, which is great. They're there for you all year. It's a great place to stock up the tackle box, buy great Christmas presents for the fishermen in your life. And you can learn more about Bluff City on their website, bluffcityoutdoors.com. And hopefully I'm catching fish with my Bluff City lures as we are hearing this. Bo, we talked about Carl joining the show again. You weren't the full-time producer of this show, were you?
I was, because it was just, on one station, yeah. And it was you and me and Aaron, yeah. And it was nothing but Second Amendment Radio. I am so happy when Bo joined, and then it became Great Outdoors, yeah. Because I love fishing. I'm so upset my fishing tour. We go every year. I go to Canada,
mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen this year because they won't let us in. We all wanted to go, but no, Canada wouldn't let the Americans in.
What do you do? What do you fish for up there?
Spend 5 days, catch northern, catch pike, and mostly northern.
Walleye?
We're up in Emo, so not a lot of walleye up there. That's more Minnesota. But you can catch a walleye here and there, but mostly northern and pike.
Did you know?
Have you fished northern Minnesota? Boundary Waters Canoe Area?
My grandfather used to take us to Izades Resort every year. And, you know,
sure.
There's 10,000 lakes up there. So Izades is like one of the major ones in mid-Minnesota. So, yes, I have been up there. And that's where I learned to water ski. Because you didn't want to get in the water. You didn't want to get in the water. You either fished or you water skied because it was too cold to swim.
Yeah, no kidding.
I grew up in Minnesota, actually. And so Boundary Waters Canoe Area, way to the north. I mean, it's just so beautiful and peaceful up there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never been, it's kind of like the big peninsula in Wisconsin or Michigan, I guess it is. It's so beautiful. And it's almost like Canada. But different.
we fly into Canada. We go and then we cross the border to International Falls. And then one year we had Bernie Federko with us because this was a blues fishing trip.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Once the Canadian guy said, "Are you Bernie Federko?" They just let us in. No, nobody had to check
it. I bet.
Because they love hockey players up
Heck
there.
Heck yeah, they do. Yeah, that having a
Hall of
hockey, a Hall of Fame hockey player with you in Canada has got to be a free pass to everything.
We got to do, and like, damn it, we should have brought more booze. We didn't have to declare it.
So just so you know, Carl, if you can't, you know, go on your regular fishing trip because the year is weird and all that, like you said, the last time you were here regularly, Bo wasn't on the show yet, so maybe you don't know this, but Bo has a lake on his property that's open to the public.
I did know that.
It's open to the public, and anybody can come out and fish anytime they
Tony,
like.
Tony, I'm telling you, you cannot be joking about this crap. You cannot be joking. No, I've read
joking.
The rules with the Missouri Conservation. You better say that, brother. I'm telling you.
I'm joking.
You want to bring a, six-pack and...
The only person invited is his neighbor who stole all the fish out of the pond anyway.
Oh, my gosh. Carl, you know, Carl's a legendary producer of St. Louis radio. It's just amazing, all of the people that he's worked with. And this is my very first time working with him. So I'm very honored because I've got mad respect for you.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
Are you a Second Amendment supporter or are you just working to do the job?
I own rifles in my home. I have. I went to CBC.
Nice.
I went to CBC
nice.
Back when it was a military school, and I have sharpshooting medals because I was a sharpshooter, and because CBC used to be a military school.
Yeah.
And back at the campus on Clayton, they actually had a firing range underneath the school.
Yeah. Can you imagine that now?
Wow.
Can you imagine that now, like a trap shooting high school team? How I mean, that used
they
to be
some.
A. It used to be a thing. Where? Uh-huh. Not around
no.
here, they don't.
No, no,
they?
No. Not in Missouri, but not in St. Louis, I don't think.
You think they still do in Missouri somewhere?
I think they do.
Yeah, I would be surprised by that. It just seems like that's how much times have changed. That,
you can tell it's a rare occasion to have a class like that, because when Tony and I went out skeet shooting, we were horrible.
Oh, man. Very, very rusty.
I'm
we weren't eating that night.
Kneeling, prone, and laying down is the best, because you don't have to prop up the weapon. And right. the weapons we were using M1s, and so they're heavy.
That's fantastic.
Well, especially when you're a high school kid.
You know, I do want to touch on one story here before we take a break and we talk to Tim Shelsvik and we get out into the great outdoors and lighten the mood a little bit. Also, Tim's going to stick around for the podcast exclusive, so make sure you stick around for that podcast, the rest of that discussion on that podcast. But in that last segment, Bo, you mentioned the defund the police slogan. And right. Aaron said that he thought that was starting to die down. I don't think that it is. In fact, I don't know if you guys saw this story this week, but Barack Obama, former President Obama, was giving an interview, and he was very critical of that saying.
It's a dumb slogan.
And said that it was basically saying that it's not good to brand the Democratic Party with that type of slogan, because it turns so many people off. His exact quote was, and again, this is Barack Obama, quote, "I guess you can use a snappy slogan like defund the police, but you've lost a big audience the minute you say it, which makes it a lot less likely that you're actually going to get the changes you want," unquote. And immediately there was people on the left in government firing back at him, like Ilhan Omar and Ayanna Presley, and locally here, Congresswoman-elect Cori Bush, who said it's not a slogan, it's a mandate.
Wow.
Yeah. So
she's not even in office.
That
yet.
Idea is not going away. And if you missed any of that discussion in that first segment with Aaron, or last week's discussion with Aaron, we are going through Joe Biden's website and looking at his plan, his policies, what he calls the Biden plan to end gun violence, and all the different things that he plans on instituting when he becomes president. And we're going through them one by one, and it takes a while because there's a lot. So it's really interesting
homework.
Yeah, it's really interesting stuff. So make sure you check
that
Wheaties.
Out. In that interview that you are referencing, I don't know if it was that one or the one from the week before, where, and of course, President Obama is trying to sell books too, right? That's the big thing.
Right.
His wife has outsold him tenfold on her book, and they got to raise the money. They got to raise the money to live like they want to do. But I think he made a comment about Trump putting kids in cages, and I'm thinking to myself, it was proven that he built the cages.
Yeah, yeah, he's
for
been...
the immigrants. I'm like, what are you even doing? This, the media, and I've heard this term, and maybe you have too. It's not mainstream media anymore. It's mainstream propaganda.
Hmm.
It you know, to watch CNN and MSNBC, I just can't. It's so
rough. President Obama has been, like you said, he's got a book to sell, but he has been everywhere, and he's been saying a lot of things recently, but has not very often been critical of his own party like he was in that quote that I just read.
I don't think it's
dying at all.
No, I don't think it is either. But I think that already, and Biden's not even sworn in yet, but he is offending the far left that he used to get the votes that he got, right?
Supposedly. No doubt. Most definitely.
And then immediately he's appointing people that are more moderate liberals. And even to the point of what you're talking about, the defund the police thing, I think Obama is correct in saying that it does offend people so much. But if you're an extreme left, AOC, for instance, well, that's exactly what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They want these hard positions on some crazy stuff. And it's just
absolutely
mind blowing.
All right, let's take a quick break and then let's get out into the woods and let's talk about deer hunting with our buddy Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. So you heard me in that last segment mention that hopefully, as you guys are hearing this, I am out on the water doing some fishing, and it's been a couple months since I've had a chance to get out, but there is still time to fish. As Mike Marfell always says, it's fishing season until the water is frozen. So if you are going to be going out soon, or maybe you're going to be doing some Christmas shopping for yourself or for another fisherman in your life, make sure you visit my friends out at Bluff City Outdoors over there in Alton, just about a mile away from Fast Eddie's. They have you covered no matter what, and they are open year round. I think they only close 3 days a year, Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, and or Christmas and New Year's Day, maybe. But other than that, they are open for you there. They specialize in the big catfish gear, but they also have a huge selection of bass and crappie lures and live bait and everything else you need to go fishing. They have you covered at Bluff City. Check them out at BluffCityOutdoors.com. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman and my partner Bo Matthews. In just a moment, we're going to talk to our friend Tim Shelzik from Drury Outdoors and the Thinking Woodsman podcast. We were talking earlier in the show with our friend Aaron Tarlow. Very interesting discussion this week and last week, and we're going to continue it next week. We've turned it into a little mini-series talking about Joe Biden's gun plan, everything on his website. So if you miss any of that discussion, make sure you check out our podcast. We put out two podcasts a week. The first one goes out on Friday. That's the show podcast. It's actually, the podcast is available before the show even airs, so you can take it with you, like hopefully I am going fishing. Or hopefully you are as you're hunting this weekend. And then we put out the podcast exclusive every Monday, which is exactly that, a little exclusive conversation that we get a chance to kind of dive deeper into some topics. And Tim Shelzik not only joining us for the last segment here in a minute, he's also sticking around for that discussion. So make sure you check that out. You can get our podcast anywhere you get podcasts, but I would recommend the radio.com app to get our podcast. And since we're going to be talking to Tim and we're going to be getting out into the great outdoors, anytime we talk about the great outdoors here on the show, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. It's a full service firearm shop. Hey, Razorback Armory, your full service firearm shop, strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. Jesse, Brad, and Kenny are ready for you in De Pere, a half mile east of 270 on Manchester. Find them on RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
Mm-hmm. And now let's go ahead and get Tim on the line. Tim Shelzik from Drury Outdoors. How's it going, buddy?
What's going on, boys?
What is happening? So you're just talking off the air there, and I was shocked to hear this. So anybody that's listened to this show for any time has heard Tim. He's been a regular on this show for years. And I knew that you preferred archery hunting, which it's archery season right now, correct?
Yes, sir.
But I just learned that you until this year, you never hunted with a rifle? Is that right? Did I hear that
right? True.
That's
Tony,
insane.
I deciphered it. Tony, I deciphered it through some texting that I've been getting, messaging from Tim. And all of a sudden, he said, oh, this is my first time. I'm like, what? You're in the business, man. Pick up a firearm, for crying out loud.
Well, and appalled.
And the natural progression, usually, right, is as a kid as you're learning, you start with a rifle, and then you decide or you don't decide that you want to try bow hunting, and that's usually how it goes. But you've always hunted with the bow, huh?
Well, Carl's music selection leading into this segment here was perfect because Ted Nugent is
Fred Bear.
Yeah, the song is about Fred Bear and the magical, mystical flight of the arrow. And I'm so passionate about bow hunting. I love to shoot the bow, whether it's bow fishing or shooting squirrels or turkeys or deer with my bow. I love to do that. But as you said, I'm in the hunting industry, and every now and again an opportunity comes up, and the folks at Mossy Oak and Leupold and La Crosse invited me to a media camp in western Oklahoma at the Canadian River Hilton, and it was chasing mature whitetails, and because it was co-sponsored by Leupold, they want you shooting a gun with a Leupold scope on it, and I was happy to give it a try and knock down a great mature buck. And that was my first ever firearms whitetail kill. And it was, I've never had anything against rifle hunting or firearms hunting for a deer. I just am so very in love with bow hunting that, and most of my properties where I hunt are archery only.
Hmm. Tim, so, you're a little hot on the mic there. I know that you
slow down.
I know you're very excited, but just so you know, you're kind of popping there a little bit. So just back off, will you? No, that's absolutely incredible, and I know that obviously you know your way around a firearm. So I'm sure you were very comfortable shooting a gun. But what was it like? What did you think about the experience of hunting with a rifle for the first time?
Well, there's kind of there are some bow hunters out there that absolutely refuse to hunt a deer with a rifle or any kind of firearm because they say, well, you're cheating. It's just too easy. It's a point and click scenario. You can reach out and touch a deer that's at 300 yards. There's no challenge in that. And it's in some ways it is a little easier. You do have a greater extension of range, but it's still not easy to encounter a good mature buck and to get him to stop and put a good hit on it. But it was so much fun. And so it's part of my, I guess, evolution as a hunter, because primarily I'd considered myself a bow hunter up until that point. Then I realized after the kill, it wasn't easy. It wasn't a slam dunk. I felt extreme gratitude for that deer and that opportunity. And I realized maybe I'm more of a deer hunter than I am just a bow hunter. So just being willing to try something new, being willing to open my mind to another perspective, and another method, I think is probably not a bad thing, not only for my hunting career, but also just for my soul and my heart too.
So as I mentioned, Tim is going to stick around and be a part of the podcast exclusive, which will come out on Monday. Make sure you are listening, because there are some topics that I want to get into with Tim in that discussion. I want to remind folks right now, though, while we have a minute, about the DeerCast app. If you are out hunting this weekend or going to be anytime soon, Tim and the company there, Drury Outdoors, the DeerCast app is an absolute must for the deer hunter. Real quick, tell people all about that.
Yeah, if you have DeerCast, you can actually see my first rifle hunt. You see that deer go down on video in the DeerCast app. But late season is getting difficult. It gets a little tougher to find and pattern your deer. The DeerCast has a bunch of videos specifically for this time of year to help you develop a strategy to get on your deer and still tag out while there's time left. Plus, there's tons of articles and videos from our 30-year history in there. In fact, all of our videos from our 30-year history, all of our hunts are in there. Our DVDs and VHS tapes that you used to be able to purchase, they're in there. And all of our kills go in there. So plus you get a 10-day forecast on likely deer movement for your specific area. And then you can recover your deer with DeerCast Track, which is also included in the app. You can select a spot on the deer that you think you hit your deer, whether bow or gun, and it'll give you a custom recovery plan and let you know if the hit was lethal or not, and help you put hands on your deer after you shoot them.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
Tim, by the way, we actually compared it to the Fish Finder for hunters. I said that a few time we talked and you agreed. It's kind of like that, right?
It's like a fish finder on steroids, and definitely something that you got to go get. Check out the DeerCast app. We got to wrap up the show, but again, make sure you check out the podcast exclusive this week as we continue this conversation with Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors. Don't forget, you can get our podcast anywhere you get podcasts, but the radio.com app is the best place to do so. For my partner, Bo Matthews, and our new producer, Carl Middleman,
thanks.
I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
So you heard me in that last segment mention that hopefully, as you guys are hearing this, I am out on the water doing some fishing And it's been a couple months since I've had a chance to get out, but there is still time to fish. As Mike Marfell always says, it's fishing season until the water is frozen. So if you are going to be going out soon, or maybe you're going to be doing some Christmas shopping for yourself or for another fisherman in your life, make sure you visit my friends out at Bluff City Outdoors over there in Alton, just about a mile away from Fast Eddie's. They have you covered no matter what, and they are open year round. I think they only close 3 days a year, Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, and or Christmas and New Year's Day, maybe. But other than that, they are open for you there. They specialize in the big catfish gear, but they also have a huge selection of bass and crappie lures and live bait and everything else you need to go fishing. They have you covered at Bluff City. Check them out at BluffCityOutdoors.com. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman and my partner Bo Matthews. In just a moment, we're going to talk to our friend Tim Shelzik from Drury Outdoors and the Thinking Woodsman podcast. We were talking earlier in the show with our friend Aaron Tarlow. Very interesting discussion this week and last week, and we're going to continue it next week. We've turned it into a little mini-series talking about Joe Biden's gun plan, everything on his website. So if you miss any of that discussion, make sure you check out our podcast. We put out two podcasts a week. The first one goes out on Friday. That's the show podcast. It's actually, the podcast is available before the show even airs, so you could take it with you, like hopefully I am going fishing. Or hopefully you are as you're hunting this weekend. And then we put out the podcast exclusive every Monday, which is exactly that, a little exclusive conversation that we get a chance to kind of dive deeper into some topics. And Tim Shelzik not only joining us for the last segment here in a minute, he's also sticking around for that discussion. So make sure you check that out. You can get our podcast anywhere you get podcasts, but I would recommend the radio.com app to get our podcast. And since we're going to be talking to Tim and we're going to be getting out into the great outdoors, anytime we talk about the great outdoors here on the show, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. It's a full service firearm shop. Hey, Razorback Armory, your full service firearm shop, strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. Jesse, Brad, and Kenny are ready for you in De Pere, a half mile east of 270 on Manchester. Find them on RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
Mm-hmm. And now let's go ahead and get Tim on the line. Tim Shelzik from Drury Outdoors. How's it going, buddy?
What's going on, boys?
What is happening? So you're just talking off the air there, and I was shocked to hear this. So anybody that's listened to this show for any time has heard Tim. He's been a regular on this show for years. And I knew that you preferred archery hunting, which it's archery season right now, correct?
Yes, sir.
And but I just learned that until this year, you never hunted with a rifle. Is that right? Did I hear that right?
True.
That's
Tony, I deciphered it. Tony, I deciphered it through some texting that I've been getting, messaging from Tim. And all of a sudden, he said, oh, this is my first time. I'm like, what? You're in the business, man. Pick up a firearm, for crying out loud.
Well, and appalled.
And the natural progression, usually, right, is as a kid you're learning, you start with a rifle, and then you decide, or you don't decide, that you want to try bow hunting, and that's usually how it goes. But you've always hunted with the bow, huh?
Well, Carl's music selection leading into this segment here was perfect, because Ted Nugent is...
Fred Bear.
Yeah, the song is about Fred Bear and the magical, mystical flight of the arrow, and I'm so passionate about bow hunting. I love to shoot the bow, whether it's bow fishing or shooting squirrels or turkeys or deer with my bow. I love to do that. But as you said, I'm in the hunting industry, and every now and again an opportunity comes up, and the folks at Mossy Oak and Leupold and La Crosse invited me to a media camp in western Oklahoma at the Canadian River Hilton, and it was chasing mature whitetails. And because it was co-sponsored by Leupold, they want you shooting a gun with a Leupold scope on it, and I was happy to give it a try and knock down a great mature buck. And that was my first ever firearms whitetail kill. And it was I've never had anything against rifle hunting or firearms hunting for a deer. I just am so very in love with bow hunting that, and most of my properties where I hunt are archery only.
Hmm. Tim, you're a little hot on the mic there. I know that you
slow down.
I know you're very excited, but just so you know, you're kind of popping there a little bit. So just back off, will you? No, that's absolutely incredible. And I know that obviously you know your way around a firearm, so I'm sure you were very comfortable shooting a gun. But what was it like? What did you think about the experience of hunting with a rifle for the first time?
Well, there's kind of there are some bow hunters out there that absolutely refuse to hunt a deer with a rifle or any kind of firearm because they say, well, you're cheating. It's just too easy. It's a point and click scenario. You can reach out and touch a deer that's at 300 yards. There's no challenge in that. And it's in some ways it is a little easier. You do have a greater extension of range, but it's still not easy to encounter a good mature buck and to get him to stop and put a good hit on it. But it was so much fun. And so it's part of my, I guess, evolution as a hunter, because primarily I'd considered myself a bow hunter up until that point. Then I realized after the kill, it wasn't easy. It wasn't a slam dunk. I felt extreme gratitude for that deer and that opportunity. And I realized maybe I'm more of a deer hunter than I am just a bow hunter. So just being willing to try something new, being willing to open my mind to another perspective, and another method, I think is probably not a bad thing, not only for my hunting career, but also just for my soul and my heart too.
So as I mentioned, Tim is going to stick around and be a part of the podcast exclusive, which will come out on Monday. Make sure you are listening, because there are some topics that I want to get into with Tim in that discussion. I want to remind folks right now, though, while we have a minute, about the DeerCast app. If you are out hunting this weekend or going to be anytime soon, Tim and the company there, Drury Outdoors, the DeerCast app is an absolute must for the deer hunter. Real quick, tell people all about that.
Yeah, if you have DeerCast, you can actually see my first rifle hunt. You see that deer go down on video in the DeerCast app. But late season is getting difficult. It gets a little tougher to find and pattern your deer. The DeerCast has a bunch of videos specifically for this time of year to help you develop a strategy to get on your deer and still tag out while there's time left. Plus, there's tons of articles and videos from our 30-year history in there. In fact, all of our videos from our 30-year history, all of our hunts are in there. Our DVDs and VHS tapes that you used to be able to purchase, they're in there. And all of our kills go in there. So plus you get a 10-day forecast on likely deer movement for your specific area. And then you can recover your deer with DeerCast Track, which is also included in the app. You can select a spot on the deer that you think you hit your deer, whether bow or gun, and it'll give you a custom recovery plan and let you know if the hit was lethal or not, and help you put hands on your deer after you shoot them.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
Tim, by the way, we actually compared it to the Fish Finder for hunters. I said that a few time we talked and you agreed. It's kind of like that, right?
It's like a fish finder on steroids, and definitely something that you got to go get. Check out the DeerCast app. We got to wrap up the show, but again, make sure you check out the podcast exclusive this week as we continue this conversation with Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors. Don't forget, you can get our podcast anywhere you get podcasts, but the radio.com app is the best place to do so. For my partner, Bo Matthews, and our new producer, Carl Middleman,
thanks.
I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.